Hello, and welcome to Talk Social to Me. I'm your host, Mackenzie. And today, Ben and I are talking all about Meta's AI rollout, the new features TikTok has released, and a brand new app that neither of us are that thrilled about, to be honest. Just an FYI, we did record this before the news of the Senate passing the TikTok ban bill. We touch upon what it means if that passes in this episode, but we will dive deeper into the bill next week for everyone. So as ever, thank you so much for listening, and I really hope you enjoy this episode. Hello, hello. How are you today, Ben?
I'm great. How are you doing?
Not too bad. Sun was kind of shining. Now it's back to gray and miserable as ever. So, you know, got to do what you got to do.
That's London, I guess.
That is London. I like that we're both wearing hats today.
Yeah, I've been rocking. I usually rock hats in the morning, and then I go to the gym and then a shower there.
Yeah.
So, we're hat gang today.
Hat gang today. As you know, but none of our listeners do, I had a slight issue with a bug infestation and got face. So I have been rocking the hat until that little bite goes away so nobody can see just how crazy it's been.
That's been a saga for anybody who's listening to this. Mackenzie's been through the ringer, getting bitten by bugs. No superpowers yet, but...
No, I hope so. One day. Yeah, we'll see. Maybe I'll be a vigilante and save the world, but... Until that day comes, I'm rocking a hat.
That'd be pretty sweet.
But yeah, so today's episode, for anybody who is new, we kind of do like these short but sweet episodes when there's been a lot of news, social media news, and there has been this week especially. So we're just going to give you the highlights. But before we get into that, Ben, do you have a flick tip today?
So the flick tip today... would be more specifically to try new content formats whenever something, the opportunity is given, and also paying attention to what's being pushed at the given moment. And for right now, it seems as such that TikTok is really pushing people that are posting static posts. And so you see it oftentimes, and when we start paying attention to these things, you start noticing them more and more. But a lot of content's being pushed where there's audio over top of it, but it's just static images that you can swipe through. And so those are being pushed pretty hard. It probably has to do with the release of their TikTok Notes app, where they're trying to get people primed to post static content. But if they're going to give you an added push for just posting a kind of content that you might want to post anyways, why not give it a try?
Absolutely. And speaking of the TikTok Notes app that they have just, well, I guess they're beta testing, and you are one of the countries that it's beta testing in. And you kind of gave a sneak peek into that on our TikTok, and I believe a YouTube channel is coming soon. But what do you think of it so far? Like, have you used it or like kind of like deep dived into it yesterday, or just kind of opened it and was like, eh, not for me?
There's not a lot to dive into, truthfully. Like, there's not a lot there. It's a very primitive app. Like, this is something that a small dev team could make this pretty quickly. Like, yeah. This is not a very complex app. There's very simple functionality. Picture like Pinterest or like very early days Instagram, but I would say it's even worse than that because the discovery feed is so against consumption. Because for anybody who's watching this on YouTube, you'll have to see my screen. Like, look how small these individual things are. So how could you even get into a stream of consumption when you have to like pick between these four for what you consume? And then when you click into it, you can only see that. You can't keep scrolling through. Like, you get locked in that post, basically.
Oh.
So I can scroll through the content there.
Yeah.
But I can't keep consuming. To go consume more, I got to go back to the main feed and then scroll.
The main feed does look exactly like Pinterest feed.
Yeah, it does.
Did you ever download, like, remember when they were really trying to push for Lemon 8? I guess it was like 2 years ago when they were just like, try out this app that we have.
I tried to get on, I believe, and I couldn't.
So I was on it for a bit just kind of see what it was like. I think I deleted it after a week. But it looks like that app, like especially like the main feed, that's exactly how it was on the main feed. But you could actually scroll through others' content. So I'm wondering if they just took basically the basic premise of Lemon 8 and then just threw it into this app, hoping that people would go to this because it's tied to their TikTok account.
Yeah, I'm sure that was the goal, is that, okay, it's close enough, it's familiar enough, but it's so non-TikTok-like that I can't see people wanting that. Maybe they will want a slower pace, but I think there's also going to be a massive problem of there not being enough consumers on there, so people won't feel the need to create on there.
Yeah.
So there won't be enough good content to keep you there.
And I'm really wondering if you post photos on TikTok, if they're going to be like, you can also share this over to TikTok Notes and just like do it like one, like
one-to-one. Yeah. That could totally be a thing. Every app wants to be everything. Yeah. I understand that like, that's the whole thing is domination. Like, let's capture the market share. Yeah. But I feel like they miss the boat so much by trying to break free into things that they're not. And sometimes, like, if you do enough, some of it kind of sticks and works out, like we've seen with Instagram. But this seems like it's going to be a miss, in my opinion. But we'll see. I do think that there is going to be more of a demand for more of this slower consumption experience. But I think this just didn't hit.
No, it's ugly.
Yeah, it maybe they'll change it. But the whole, it's kind of funny how they were solely known for and big for the endless feed. Yeah, and like the feed consumption, the fact that they removed friction across every border to try to make it as easy to consume as possible. This is like the antithesis of that. It's like the total opposite. It's hard to consume a lot of content in this.
Yeah, like I feel like that'll probably be something that they're noticing or they're testing in this beta test, and they'll probably update it a bit more. So TikTok, if you're listening, take Ben's advice and maybe, you know, make it a scrollable feed.
Yeah, there's no way this is the final product. I'd be shocked if this is what they mass release. But I'm kind of shocked they even released this.
Yeah.
Because looking at this now, I could not imagine, based on what my monkey brain's been trained to expect, I could not imagine spending more than 5 minutes on this thing. Because every little bit of consumption has to be like so much labor. I know that's ridiculous that I'm even saying that. But compared to other social media apps, it's a lot more labor intensive.
Yeah, and like the whole point in most social media apps, or just like if you want to be on an app in general, it's to like the click fatigue. Like you don't want people clicking too much to get to the end result or to get to the final product. And I feel like this is a lot of click, 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 click.
100%. You want to remove friction wherever you can. And this is not removing any friction. This is quite like a lot of time and a lot of effort, but maybe that's exactly what they're going for. Like, who knows? Maybe a lot like within the dating app space, Hinge takes this model where they deliberately make it more difficult to basically try to weed non-serious people out there so that they can position themselves as the serious dating app. Maybe that's something that they're trying to do, is like, this is the slow paced.
This is the slow life.
Social media. Yeah. Yeah. Who knows? I'm sure we'll get to a place where that is actually in demand. We'll see if that's right now.
I can see pushback slowly of people like with social media and like as a whole. So it will, I mean, that could be something that they're testing out just to see if people are like, okay, like maybe they don't want to consume as much as we thought they did previously.
I can't see this having taken a lot of money to build.
Yeah.
Like if this took a lot of money to build, then they royally screwed up, because this is a very primitive app that shouldn't, like, you could build this with a dev team of a few in like a week or 2 weeks. Like, this is very simple stuff, especially with all the servers they would already have. And so it's kind of a low weight risk because they already have all these users. Just go see if they'll use it.
Yeah.
If so, cool. Double down. If not, throw it out. Like, it's probably didn't take very much time.
Well, that's a good point. We'll see what actually happens with this. I really want it. Like, I just want to kind of like scroll it just so I can have it, but
you'll be over it in 5 minutes, I guarantee.
Yeah, I'm sure.
It was like,
I'll be like, eh.
It was like when I opened the Nintendo Wii in Christmas, circa like 2010 or whatever. I wanted that thing so bad. I played 5 minutes of Wii Sports and I'm like, this is stupid.
Oh no. Yeah, it'll definitely be that for me. Speaking of new apps though, we have both recently talked about this app and we both have it downloaded, but there is a new app called AirChat. And I thought we were over a voice only app. Like, Clubhouse did it, and we all realized very quickly after like 2 months of Clubhouse that nobody wanted just voice only apps. And now this new app called AirChat is basically people reading their tweets to you. They're tweeting out and they're reading it out loud to you.
Yeah, so the exact premise is, much like Mackenzie said, it's basically exactly Twitter, but they take your voice note and they add captions to it. And then when you go through your feed, they play it back with their voice at like a 1.25x multiplier. So it's slightly faster than a normal person speaks, but it's slow enough that you can still consume it. And so it's very personal. Like, it does feel like you're kind of in someone's head, which is a little weird.
Yeah.
And I think it's going to be a very difficult thing for a lot of people to want to create on. So Naval is the creator of this. He's one of a very famous influencer from philosophy and venture capital. So he's been posting clips from this app on his personal Instagram for a long time, because when it was in beta, it was just invite only, like the classic app structure.
Yeah.
And now it's open to everyone. And so I still think it's worth going on there, even if you just want to be a fly on the wall, because when apps are brand new and it's a cool place to be, people are on there that normally you would never have access to. And because no one else is there taking their time and attention, they'll give it to you. Right. Yeah. So like, a lot of people built their career, it's going to sound crazy, but literally I know multiple people who built their career off of Clubhouse when it was early. They went in there, they established themselves and as an authority there, and they got in the realms of conversations where they could never have gone in real life, but they got through because they were at this new place when it was new as just one of the first people.
Yeah, absolutely. And I do agree with that. I think that you should be a fly on the wall and just check it out. Like, if you're somebody who's in social media, I feel like you should always check out everything that's out there just to kind of be aware and see what's driving people to new apps, what people are wanting to consume, what kind of content people are wanting. Yeah. And it gives you new ideas when you're on these new apps. But yeah, I downloaded it yesterday and I was kind of scrolling through, and I, much like you with TikTok notes, like within 5 minutes, I'm like, I am over this.
I can't see how people would get deep into consumption on this. Like, that's the whole mindless scrolling that can't happen here. And I'm sure that's probably by design as well. But I could never see myself spending hours on this. I'm going to dive a little bit more deep into it. But it's funny because everyone who has it, because it shows you who you know that has it, it's all like social media people.
Yeah,
like exactly. It's not like none of the people that I can add that I know personally are non-social media people. It's all like people in this space. So yeah, like, you'll be able to network like crazy, but yeah, I've definitely gauge your expectations, because it's a different experience.
I think the people that would make it big or be big on this are like motivational speakers. So people who have like really good insights into just like different bite-sized quotes that they can just like constantly say. I feel like celebrities would probably do really well, just because people like hearing the voice of celebrities. I feel like people would latch onto that. But just the average everyday person just reading, or just basically saying out loud just the random thoughts in their brain, I'm not so sure if that would kick off for a lot of people.
No, again, obviously talent is talent. And if you're funny enough, clever enough, creative enough, whatever, I'm sure you can break through. But I do think it's going to be an uphill battle in terms of, making that mainstream is going to be really tough. But maybe that's not what Naval's going for. Maybe he does want it more of like a niche type thing. But it's a weird experience, because I did it with my headphones in. And so you're just scrolling and then you randomly hear someone talk. You know what I mean? Like, because it looks a lot like Twitter. I'm kind of primed to get into my reading mode. And then I start hearing the person's voice. And also, it's not like a polished platform. So you hear like the ums and ahs, which is also kind of a strange experience for short form social, because usually it's such a curated experience.
Yeah, absolutely. Also, just a note for people who are thinking about doing this and actually putting their voice out there. There is something in the terms and conditions where they can use your voice for future things.
Really?
Yeah. So just be aware of that. I did notice that in the terms and conditions yesterday when I downloaded it.
Did you read the whole thing?
I was scrolling through, and like, I think I've told you about this. There is an app that you can add to your Chrome extension, and it's like too long, didn't read. And it basically sums up the terms and conditions on basically anything before you download something.
That's
and
smart.
Tells you if it's good or if it like gives you all the negatives and gives you all the pros.
That's sweet. That's where I think there's a lot of value in emerging tech, because they have similar apps like that for like food and stuff too.
Yeah.
Which is sweet, where you can just scan it and be like, okay, this is good, eat it, or this is bad, don't. So that's genius. I need to start doing that with terms of conditions. That's so smart.
Yeah, I do that every time, because I'm like, I don't want to give people too much of my, like, I give away my data for free. I don't need to give away my voice for free.
No, that is kind of crazy. And the applications are seemingly endless, because this duplication technology is getting so good. Like, a tool that I use to record a lot of content in is called The Script, and they've been able to clone your voice basically for like a year and a half. Now it's getting so creepily good. I think we already talked about this before, but it's worth mentioning again that now there's a box on YouTube where you're supposed to click if it's AI generated content.
Yep.
And so that's good that at least they're thinking about it, and hopefully there'll be some sort of policing in terms of like allowing real creators to actually have an opportunity, because if these get really good, it's going to be AIs creating stuff for AIs. And it's just like, yeah. What's the point of this?
Do you think, like, if people said no and there actually was, is there like a checker that YouTube can do to see like, oh, well, this person was lying?
The problem is this stuff moves so fast that I'm sure anything they build would probably become obsolete fairly quickly.
Yeah.
So true. I bet you they will build something, and hopefully theirs is just better than the technology moves. But I'm hesitant for how that will operate, because even their current content scanning system is quite primitive, and it makes a lot of mistakes. And so I can only imagine with something as good as AI as it's getting, it's going to be hard to have technology that constantly does that. But I'm sure they'll find some sort of solution or some sort of tell. And maybe that might even come in the form of legislation where, like, there has to be something coded into these public-facing apps. Who knows?
Yeah, I think that would be beneficial to all, because obviously AI is just getting clever and cleverer, and we're just living in it now. So I was talking to a friend about, I don't know if you saw the meme of Mark Zuckerberg, and he did a reel the other day talking about new Meta updates, and somebody took his face and put like a tan and a beard on him.
Well, that wasn't real.
Like, no. See, that was the thing. That was AI.
Wow.
And my friend was like, holy shit, I didn't even, like, it's getting so good now where I'm not even noticing when things are AI.
I seriously thought that he was just tanned out from living somewhere warm and had a beard. That was fake.
That was fake.
It's obviously a minor thing that I thought that was real, but imagine that with non-minor things.
Exactly. Right? Exactly.
Wow.
So it's wild. It's just, yeah, it's absolutely wild that this is the world we're living in, and we do have to be careful on things. Like, I do think it should be mandatory that you have to say when something is AI.
Yeah, I think that 100%, because it also robs, because it gets pretty dystopian when you think about the fact that a human connection can be artificial.
Yes.
Right? Because like right now, the whole parasocial relationship is kind of weird. We've never really had this in history before. But that becomes a lot weirder when that parasocial relationship is with ones and zeros. Yeah. That becomes even more dystopian to me. And so I think that has to be worked in there. And I actually was listening to this podcast last night, about a guy who's pretty progressive with AI. And he's like, I don't think the biggest threat is AI taking over us. He's like, I think the biggest threat is all of the lonely people being tricked by AI boyfriends and girlfriends.
Yeah.
Because he's like, that would not be that hard to do, is to like go sift through data, see who's really lonely, and then target them with like chatbots.
Yeah, and that's get money from them.
Exactly.
Yeah, anything.
And so that's one thing where I'm like, wow, that could be weaponized, people's loneliness. And so I think that there needs to be some sort of legislation in terms of just letting people be aware. Because I think way less people would go into it if they knew for a fact it was an AI, right? Rather than like, oh, this might be a real person.
Well, there's something right now recently where there are actual kids getting manipulated by people through AI, and children are getting photos of themselves, and there's like deep fake photos of them naked and basically sent back to them and saying, we'll release this if you don't give us money. And it's not even a real photo of them, but it's because it's like been digitized through AI, and they're like stealing money from their parents and stuff because they're like, I don't want this fake photo to be released out into the world.
Yeah, I think that's only going to happen more and more. I don't know the solution to that problem. And two, people are so messed up.
Yeah.
Like if you put that kind of effort into a legitimate business, you can make money. Like I've never understood these crazy people where it's like, dude, there's so many legal ways to make money where there's no threat where you go to jail. Like, why don't you just do that instead of being an absolute sicko? Like, that's crazy.
Yeah, it's so cruel. And we've talked about this many times before, but like, I'm just very thankful that I grew up in the social media space when I did, and had a childhood and basically didn't know technology until I was like about like 12, 13 when we finally got like a home computer.
We were at the right time. I think about all of this stuff, and it's even trickling down into so many things where until you really dissect the implications of this stuff, you wouldn't even think about it. But like the average day experience on like the playground, and yeah. stuff. Like think about all those little social interactions that people aren't getting anymore that were instrumental mm-hmm. in your development as a human being, right? Like a sense of understanding, a sense of morality, a sense of beliefs, all those little things, you don't get to discover who you are when you're constantly in this box.
Yep.
And so like that's detrimental in terms of the development of people and their ability to interact with each other. Like those skills atrophy. And so there's a reason why I live in a big city, and I think that's probably the worst for that, is because although there's more access to people, people are more afraid of people, so they're more isolated. Yeah. And you see that people don't have the social skills because they're constantly just operating in their same little realm of safety of like five people, maybe, and then their phone constantly. Yeah. It's sad. It's very sad. Like, I think there's got to be, if anyone's listening to this, I think there's going to be massive business implications for like the loneliness problem. And mm-hmm. the development of social skills in some sort of way using this technology. Like, I think yeah. those are going to be massive sectors that right now seem like, oh, whatever, it's just being a human. It's not becoming that anymore.
No, it's not. And I've worked with people whose kids are, I don't know, like 10, 11 now. And I've heard, like I have friends who are actually teachers, and a lot of her students can't read and they can only recognize the shape of words. So they're not like learning how to sound out words to actually figure out what the word is. They're just learning the shapes of words through the computer.
What?
Yeah. And like that's like there's a huge,
Shapes of words.
Yeah.
That's so like they're just spotting a pattern. They don't actually know what the word means.
Yeah. So I don't know how prevalent this is and like how big it is, but my friend from her small section of people that she teaches in Missouri,
yeah.
they're learning the shapes of words and they're not actually growing up and like learning how to sound out words to do that. And so there's a small minority that are literate at the moment.
There's so many things within the school system now where like they don't get taught things because it alienates like a few or people get frustrated and so they just stop doing it. It's not good.
No, it's not. It's bad. Anyway, talking about social media, to go back into it again.
Another sector I think that there will be also a massive thing related to social media is, like we've talked about this on the show a bunch too, but is child safety and education,
yeah.
right? Like informing kids on what they're using, the implications of it, and then also building tools to make that a lot safer. And that's a needed thing.
Yeah. And I go back and forth on the Florida ban. With Florida banning social media for people under the age of 16, in some ways, I'm like, okay, I do agree with this. Like, I don't think that kids under 16 should have social media accounts. I definitely don't. But at the same time, I also think it should be up to the parent. And so it's like, how do you kind of sway, like, where do you go from there? But I, like, with you, I agree. I think there needs to... I don't know, maybe there's like classes that need to be taught or something needs to be taught to these kids. Like if you do this online, X, like if X happens, then Y could be the consequence.
Yeah. And those kind of things, those are sleeping giants because they usually get licensed out to school boards and school boards pay a ton of money.
Yeah.
And so I got contacted by a teacher that was part of a school board in Florida. And they wanted me to create like a safety thing. And at the time I was growing my agency and stuff, so I had no interest in that. But the lady like broke down the business model to me and she's like, Ben, this would be really lucrative. Because it's basically like an online course, but you're not selling to an average consumer. You're selling to school boards.
Yeah.
For licensing. And then it repeats every year.
Yeah.
So like that's potentially a massive sector that's going to need to be developed. And then obviously the best providers will do the best.
Yeah, absolutely. Well, there you go. There's your top tip side hustle for the day.
There you go.
And then to go further into AI, Meta AI is officially released. It's completely rolled out. I think it's rolled out in 16 places, I believe, now.
Yeah, we have it. It's doesn't seem very good.
It's not good yet because I had it when I was in the States last year. Like when I went home, I logged on and I was like, oh, okay, this is still bad. So it still looks like it's pretty bad. But they're also releasing Llama 3, which is like their open source AI in the background, and it's trying to be a competitor of OpenAI. Zuckerberg told The Verge that Meta AI is going to be the, quote, the most intelligent AI assistant that people can freely use across the world. So we'll see if that actually happens. But with Meta AI, you can ask the AI any question and it will provide you with real-time search results from Bing and Google. Oh. It'll generate any image or GIF on the fly. So you just like insert whatever you like, a phrase, and it'll create an image for you.
Yeah.
But the thing that interests me most is that you can ask it for specific content and it will provide you with posts from Facebook and Instagram. So if you're like, I want to see travel content to Paris, it will send you like video content or like posts from actual creators on both platforms. It kind of provides people with a new way to explore new content and like find new content. And so if you're a content creator, you should be using SEO on your Instagram, like in all of your posts, because that will help the AI kind of push your content in front of people if people are using Meta's AI.
Yeah, that, so I'm glad they're working that in there because I think that's a no-brainer for discovery. And that's a great point. Like a lot of people, that's how they're going to start finding content because everything's becoming so specialized and so tailored. And so when you don't take the time to make it easy for the platforms to sort your stuff, then it becomes more difficult in terms of actually getting in those placements. So yeah, being thoughtful about that from the beginning is a very good idea.
Yeah, absolutely. So make sure you're doing that. Again, it's not everywhere yet. They're definitely rolling it out. Probably when they realize that it's not that good right now and then they make it better, they'll roll it out to more places. But yeah, it's going to be added into Instagram, Facebook, WhatsApp, Messenger. It has its own website, meta.ai, and then it will actually be added into Facebook's feed. So when you're scrolling the feed, you can like click Meta AI and it'll let you do stuff, but I don't know what it means.
That's going to be crazy when it gets to my grandparents and they're rocking with AI and just so mesmerized by this thing. Because I tried it, because I've used ChatGPT a good amount. And so I'd say it's still way extremely far behind that, but it's going to have so much data to learn off of. It'll probably learn very quickly.
Yeah.
I also used the image generating tool, and right now it's very bad.
Yeah.
right now it's really bad, but it'll get better very quickly, as we've seen with all these models. Like even DALL-E, which is now you can have as an app within ChatGPT, you can now augment like specific minor parts of the designs they create for you. Like you can say, like, only change this part of it. So it's getting increasingly effective.
Oh wow, gosh, I feel bad for these graphic designers who won't have jobs anymore.
You're gonna have to be very specialized to keep a job. I think there's now gonna be way less of them, but the ones that are survive will make way more. Because they'll be worth so much and can work so much faster.
Absolutely. So 30-minute videos.
This is TikTok you're talking about, right? You cut out a little bit.
Yeah.
Okay.
So obviously, they've always wanted to be a competitor of YouTube. YouTube is still the number one platform for most people. But yeah, it looks like they're going to be introducing 30-minute videos very soon. I don't know how... Me personally, but this is just me, I don't watch long-form videos on my phone. I always watch them on my laptop. But I know I'm probably in the minority here for a lot of the youth. So I don't see how well it would do on my phone.
Yeah, I think we say that, but I'm willing to bet, because I'm the same way, we probably watch in totality the same amount of time that would just be a long form video, right? Because if you think about it, your session is probably 20, 30 minutes. That could be one video if it was compelling enough, but one didn't pop up that was for us. So I think we would consume it. But I think that we've not been conditioned to do that. And I think it also is kind of scary for TikTok, the fact that they're pushing this so hard, because it clearly shows they're having difficulty monetizing. Because why would you care to make this such a... Like, they stress this so much so frequently. And obviously, it's because people aren't doing it enough. So they're trying to incentivize you to do it. Okay, then why do they want that? It's because they're not making money. So, yeah, I don't know if this goes too well for TikTok's longevity, but... I can't see myself turning my phone and watching like a 30-minute video on that, though.
No, absolutely not. I was reading something the other day where it was a podcast called Plain English. I will actually link it below in the show notes. I'll send it to you too, Ben. But the average person scrolls through, I think it's like 300 pages of content a day. I'm sorry, 300 feet of content a day. And I was just like, I'm sorry, what? Now in the morning, since I've listened to that episode, I've like kind of tried to be more aware of like how much content I'm scrolling, because I can see that. I can see that actually absolutely being a thing.
Okay. Okay. Yeah. That's not shocking to me at all, really. I think that most people are grossly underestimating how much time they spend on their phone, because it's the in-between thing too. Also, it's another thing I heard on a podcast too, where he's like, watch what people do on transitions of things. Like, no one will sit, and I'm guilty of this as well, no one will sit in like the transitionary experience because there's like a slight bit of discomfort in that. And so they always reach for their phone. So like when they're waiting for the elevator, when they like get up to do something, when they are like, when there's an awkward pause or like they're waiting in line, it's always go to the soother. Like they instantly put it in. And so then it just shuts people off from the rest of the world. So I think that's, it's a very serious thing that those little moments add up like a ton.
Yeah, they do.
To like hours per day.
Oof. Oh man. Well, continuing with TikTok, because the rest of it is more about TikTok. They have now teamed up with AXS to let artists, venues, and festivals sell concert tickets on the app.
Okay.
So it's going to be all within the app. You don't have to leave the app whatsoever. People are going to be selling their concert tickets. I think this is great for young artists or like smaller artists. I'm not sure how much Taylor Swift needs to be pushed on this platform, but that's just me. But I do think it could be an interesting way for people to quickly grab tickets, know when a local artist is in town. So I do think this is a pretty good push from them.
Yeah, I think that makes a ton of sense. And it's probably a good business model for them too. Just anywhere you can take some of the money.
Yeah.
And because I think a lot of people, they're so inundated with stimulus that getting them to do something in the moment is becoming increasingly difficult unless it's very easy. Mm-hmm. Like the threshold for people to not do something is so low. We're like, oh, I'll do it later. And then there's 4,000 things that come into their brain in the next 20 minutes and they completely forget about that thing.
Yep.
So I think that the name of the game for action is going to be removing friction. And so if this does that, very good decision. And I think this is just where all things are going to go. We're like, you click this and you buy instantly. Like that's where things are going. Like that's the whole reason why, even on a micro level, why they developed the whole Face ID on phones. It's so that like removing friction for you to getting in and spending time on it. Right. So like all these little things, they add up because it's just friction.
It is friction. And then the final thing as ever, the TikTok ban.
That's huge.
So basically, House of Representatives, they passed a bill recently. This past week, they actually redid the bill according to what Senate was wanting. And it's basically about the timeline of the sale. So from 6 months to a year. And now it looks like it could be getting passed at the end of this week. If Senate decides to pass it, Joe Biden has already said that he was going to sign it off. And so it could be that TikTok has exactly 1 year to sell it to somebody or it's gone.
Yeah. Because they talked about it so much, it's hard for me to ever picture it being gone.
Yeah.
but this would be groundbreaking if that does happen. If it does go away. And there's a lot of creators that think that it's going to absolutely go away because they've been making series about it, like preparing myself for the end of TikTok. Yeah. And they're making it like on TikTok. It's kind of weird. But yeah, it's interesting. It wouldn't impact my life all that much, I don't think, it going away, because like I do have a presence on TikTok to a degree, but it's just like a supplemental thing.
Yep.
I don't think it'd be that bad. Like, I think Instagram would win from it, and I'm cool with that. I think Instagram has more features as a business owner for you to win than TikTok does, in my opinion. So I wouldn't be that sad to see it go.
Yeah, I feel bad for the creators on there. But again, we've always talked about this. Like, you need to find other ways to build your audience in other like platforms. So maybe this is the start of your YouTube channel. Maybe this is the start of your Instagram account and your Instagram community to get people over there. But yeah, you can't just stick to one platform. Like, you can build one platform really, really well. But using that social proof, like we always talk about, to get people to follow you in other areas is always going to be the name of the game.
I think that we are going to shift away from these like mega corporation models. And I think that people will be more content with having a niche based product that people are cool with. Like, I was thinking about this the other day and I was like, I'm really shocked there aren't like commercially successful dating apps for like very specific things. And like there are for like religions and things of that nature. But like, how is there not a really popular one for, say, like there are some of these, but they're not good. Like the gym goers or things of that nature. Because if you think about it, it all comes down to the marketing of that. Because like the only reason that the ones that right now don't work is because they did a poor job relaying the message and making it cool. And so I think that almost every company is going to become a marketing company. And I think that people are going to be okay with having a more niche relationship with their audience and just serving one specific person and making it really, really good. Whereas everything to this point has always been, we need market share. We need more people, more people. Let's try this. Let's try that. And they want to take over the entire world. I'm hoping that we go a little bit away from that.
Yeah, fingers crossed, but we shall see. That is all we got time for, folks. This is longer than we meant, but there was a lot of news this week. But we will end it on a Flick feature. And the feature this week is Callum McDonald. He has a podcast called The Creator Playbook. He has some really interesting guests on there, lots of creators. He recently had the social media manager for Ryanair and basically how the social media manager came up with the chaotic brand voice that he did. So just really interesting insights. He gets a lot of good observations from creators. And I personally have really enjoyed listening to the podcast recently and have gotten some good tips from there. So go give that a listen, give it a follow. And if you like this episode and if you like us, give us a 5-star review because it helps people find us and it helps people find the podcast. And I think we've got some pretty good insights.
100%, 100%, yeah. And share it with any of your marketing or social media friends. It gives you stuff to talk about every single week. Helps with the whole connection piece that we've talked about. Gives you something to talk about. And yeah, you get to hang out with us every single week, which is pretty freaking chill.
Exactly. You can also follow us over on all of our social media channels. We are at flick.social on pretty much every single one of them. We will also have that link in the show notes. Also, go listen and watch all of Ben's videos. My mom sure does. Hello, mom. And over on our YouTube channel, and that is at flick.social as well. And yes, he's got some really good video content coming up. He's got some really good video content that he's made previously. So go give all of them a watch because they're pretty great.
Yeah, absolutely. And I'm literally, by the time you're listening to this, it'll already be live. So go check out our TikTok Notes walkthrough. So if you want to see what the app looks like, you're curious about it, and you want a detailed walkthrough, a video of that is going live momentarily. So by the time you listen to this, it'll be up.
Perfect. We will see you or talk to you or whatever however you consume this podcast in 2 weeks. Thank you all. Goodbye. Peace.